Welcome to today's edition of Bob's Radio Journal Podcast.
Hi, folks. How are you? This is Bob Anderson coming to you from the beautiful Laurel Highlands here in Pennsylvania. The United States has enjoyed unprecedented liberty and prosperity, as well as stability, in large part because of its Constitution. Today, I want to continue talking with you about a number of myths and misconceptions concerning that inspired document. By the way, this is reprinted and podcasted by permission from Imprimis, the National Speech Digest of Hillsdale College, www.hillsdale.edu. This is the fifth in a series of eight. The original talk was given by Stephen Markman, Justice, Michigan Supreme Court. This is adapted from his speech delivered on April 29, 2003, at Hillsdale College National Leadership Seminar in Dearborn, Michigan. So here we go with a myth or misconception number five. The Constitution is a document for lawyers and judges. The Constitution was written for those in whose name it was cast, we the people. It is a relatively short document, and it is generally straightforward and clear-cut, with only a few exceptions. There is an absence of legalese or technical terms. While the contemporary constitutional debate has focused overwhelmingly on a few broad phrases of the Constitution, such as due process and equal protection, the overwhelming part of this document specifies, for example, that a member of the House of Representatives must be 25 years of age, 7 years a citizen, and an inhabitant of the state from which he is chosen. That a bill becomes a law when approved by both houses and signed by the President, etc. One willing to invest just a bit more time in understanding the Constitution need only peruse the Federalist Papers to see what Madison, Hamilton, or Jay had to say about its provisions to a popular audience in the late 18th century. One reason I believe that the Constitution, as well as our laws generally, should be interpreted according to the straightforward meaning of their language is to maintain the law as an institution that belongs to all of the people and not merely to judges and lawyers. Let me give you an illustration. One creative constitutional scholar has said that the requirement that the president shall be at least 35 years of age really means that the president must have the maturity of a person who was 35 back in 1789 when the Constitution was written. That age today, opines this scholar, might be 30 or 32 or 40 or 42. The problem is that whenever a word or phrase of the Constitution is interpreted in such a creative fashion, the Constitution and the law in general becomes less accessible and less comprehensible to ordinary citizens, and more the exclusive providence of attorneys who are trained in knowing such things as 35 does not always mean 35. One thing, by the way, that is unusual in the constitutional law course that I teach at Hillsdale College is that we actually read the language of the Constitution and discuss its provisions as we do so. What passes for constitutional law study at many colleges and universities is exclusively the study of Supreme Court decisions. While such decisions are obviously important, it is also important to compare what the Supreme Court has said to what the Constitution says. What is also unusual at Hillsdale is that, by the time the students take my course, they have been required to study such informing documents as the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, Washington's first inaugural address, and indeed, the Constitution itself.
You've been listening to Bob's Radio Journal. I hope you've enjoyed it. And until next time, goodbye for now.